Today's episode of Watch What Crappens is brought to you by our Patreon super premium sponsors, Christy Dougherty, Mia Hansen Aloha, Madonna Hines, Cindy Gersten, Kelly Barlow, and Jess Sayin. Thank you.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo we love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender, and joining me, as always, is the hilarious and wonderful Ronnie Karam from trashtalktv.com and Rose Prick's Bachelor Podcast. Hey, what's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great on this fine Monday. Yeah. Good sweet Jesus. Well, we said we needed rest. Did you get rest?
You know, I got rest, but I am like very sluggish today. Because I stayed up late because I had to watch shows for the podcast, and then I woke up early to watch the rest of the shows, and it was like a carefully timed amount of like time. It was like, meaning like I had like, by the time I woke up, I had like no minute to spare to watch the shows and take notes and get my coffee and get here for the podcast. And sure enough, someone threw a wrench into it, and long story short, I have not had my coffee and I am surly as hell. Surly AF this morning.
Surly AF.
Yeah.
I did sleep. I slept at the Domino's and watched a Netflix show on my phone in my bed.
Okay.
Which I've never done really on my phone. Usually I whip out the iPad, but the iPhone, I have one of those like sticky things on the back that I could just hold it with my finger.
Yeah.
Wow. What a day. It was amazing. I can't believe I've never done that.
What
well, there's so much on right now, and I tried watching Bloodline, but I forgot how slow that show is, and I was like, I do not have time for this slowness.
Mm.
So I watched a show called The 3%, which is an import, but instead of putting subtitles on it, they just redub it. So it's kind of like watching one of those like Japanese redub videos.
Yeah.
Where the mouths are moving totally different than what's being said. And then all the actors who are doing it are trying to give the drama, but they're trying to time it in the right way, which is like its own kind of comedy. But it's really good. It's like a Hunger Game. It's like a low-budge Hunger Games.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you got that in.
I sure did. And then I partied for the rest of the weekend. So I did the same thing. I watched these shows drizzunk in the middle of the night. And had so much fun. So I don't know how the notes are going to sound.
Oh, that's
been your warning. But I feel great today.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I feel like I am about to pass out onto my microphone right now.
Okay, well, let's just
amp it up. But we're going to push through. We're going to push through. Who needs caffeine? We have God's caffeine, which is Bravo TV.
Yeah. I'm actually in a great mood. I like the amount of sleep and partying, you know? My body knows how much it needs, and it seems to have gotten enough of both. So I'm ready for you, Monday. I'm ready!
Yes, let's take it on. Let's take it on. I don't even remember what I did this weekend. Guys, this is... It's all coming back to me, and it's just woke me up. It's like I can't even believe I forgot this. Yesterday, I went to a show, and Angela Bassett sat directly in front of me.
Oh my God, I would have been so nervous.
It was like transcendent.
I wonder if she feels the energy, because her back is so strong. I feel like she can feel like any kind of energy around her. So if you're like loving her really hard, I feel like she's probably feeling that right in the center of her shoulder blades and trying not to turn around on purpose, you know?
She is perfection. I love her. So yes, now I'm like wide-eyed with like memories of brushes with greatness over the weekend.
If only you could have told her, hey, I'm about to go take notes on Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yeah.
You know, really gotten her respect while you were there.
If only I could have done such a thing.
So today is Real Housewives of Potomac and Invite Only Cabo. We're going to do a full Potomac recap and just talk basics about Invite Only. Because let's face it, it's the same scene in a living room and then on a beach and then in a restaurant and then in a living room.
Yeah. And then like at a random shop in town. And then and like then the maybe kitchen. A hospital waiting room if you're lucky.
Then a little DiGiorno's in the kitchen. Emily gets wasted, tries to fuck somebody, eats off a finger.
And everyone, then somehow they always make a magnificent cake. Like, it's quietly. This cast is like a cast of amazing cooks. Last week, they made amazing fried chicken. It was barbecue chicken. 2 weeks before, Rihanna made like a chocolate marshmallow cake. Like, reluctantly and resentfully, she's like, here's the fucking cake. It's this beautiful chocolate cake. This week, Malaku makes...
These bitches ain't afraid of a box cake.
Yeah, but they make it look nice.
I mean, that last night's didn't. They even laughed at it. They were like,
I thought last night's looked nice. It was better than
Malaku. Cake fight.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
There's excitement. So everyone stay tuned because we're going to do a deep dive on that cake and so much more. Brace yourself. Spoiler
too early
alert.
For a cake Friday.
Yeah. But first, we'll start with Potomac because why not?
The Real Housewives of chain restaurants.
Yeah.
The Real Housewives of Potomac went to Topgolf. I just want to see what chain restaurant they're going to next. Not if these the bitches Grill. Make it to a Chuck E. Cheese, they will get a special Crappins Award at the end of the year.
I see them going to like Buco de Beppo next. I am the hostess, and as the hostess, I have planned a meal at Buco de Beppo.
Please put all these plates by me, because these are family-style plates, and I'm the head of this family.
I've invited my good friend Cece. I'm sorry, we're going to Cece's Pizza Bar. That's what we're doing instead.
Cece is queen, second only to me. Karen Cece's Pizza. I only asked Cece to help today.
You know, not everyone can get invited into the Golden Corral.
I have to corral these girls into the Golden Corral. It's only called Golden when I'm here. Karen, the queen of the Golden Corral.
Thank God it's Friday, am I right? No, seriously, GGIFs, that's our next stop.
Thank God it's Karen's birthday, where I always get the center of the booth. So this week we open with funky sax on a Casio keyboard music. I was like, you guys, make an effort. It's like Milani, Monique's kid, playing on a Casio keyboard. It's like, dirt. Chef Brad and Ashley, sleeping together or just doing, you know, coke together in the kitchen? What do you think?
I think maybe if it's any of the two, I think it's the latter.
Because he seems very nervous at all times.
That's true.
She's like, I got the comment cards. I need a libation. He's like, yeah, here's a Corona. Beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day.
I think he's nervous because he conned his way into this job, and it just so happens he's on TV. And so now he has to really, like, give it an A-plus effort. You know, he just, like, applied off of Craigslist. He's like, yeah, I'm a chef. Meanwhile, he was working at GameStop 2 days ago. And now all of a sudden, he's like, oh, shit, there are cameras here, and I have to look like a real chef. You know, it's like a classic 90s comedy.
He finally got his big break when they needed someone who pretended to know how to cook emu. I don't know what it is, but I'll take it, and I will work there long enough to get unemployment.
He thought it was some type of fish. He's like, yeah, it's like a shrimp.
So they're going through the comment cards, and Ashley's saying, if I fail at this, I failed at business and marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So... she's getting raves. They're like, that caprese salad had a nice texture. She's like,
yeah, exactly. It's like the butter lettuce was the best butter lettuce I've ever had that had brown tips.
Wow, those slices of mozzarella cheese.
That balsamic vinegar, that was just some amazing Cola Vita shit, wasn't it?
I knew it would be right to Americanize the rest of the menu. Like, that was a caprese salad. So,
yeah. I think I'm more inclined to side with the chef who said this is all under-seasoned and he used tomatoes that weren't even ripe than what, like, Charisse writes on the index card.
Oh, I said on Twitter I would address this. So last week when I was going off about Ashley, you know, someone said, you know, just because her husband owns that restaurant doesn't give him a right to demean her, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying it's right for him to emotionally abuse her or anything. I made that comment because she was saying, well, I have a business and those girls don't even do anything. Try getting a business. And I'm like, yeah, but your business was from your husband. So like, let's stop all pretending that we're Bill Gates on this show.
So meaning, you know? To clarify, because I don't know if you clarified it there, but I think I know your intention, meaning that, you know, she's acting like she started a business from the ground up, like on her own bootstraps, like a Horatio Alger kind of, you know, success story, when really it was that her husband is a restaurateur and he's like, oh, here, why don't you own this restaurant? That's what you're saying.
Right. That's what I mean. And that still works. She's working her ass off. I come from a restaurant family. It's all day. It sucks. Right. So I give her the credit for working. But when she starts with the other women, like, well, at least I have a business. Well, it's not like, you know, you worked your way up from the busboy and are now a restaurant
owner. Isn't it ironic that the woman who loves to brag about having a business can't seem to mind her own business? That's some deep thoughts for everyone right there.
Deep thoughts, guys.
Yeah. Sorry, Sasha. You could have had that one if you had thought of it first.
Oh, Sasha has a new saying today, and she says it 20 times, and I can't wait to get to it. But we'll wait.
She's actually, by the way, Sasha is like the worst. She is like the worst. You know, last season we hated her. This season I was like, okay, she's a little bit better. But watching this episode, I'm like, you know what, Sasha? You're just the worst.
She is. She makes you feel bad for her because she cries. And she only talks to her dogs. And, I mean, she has a hoverboard. So, like, it's sad.
Yeah.
So you feel bad for her. But, guys, remember, Hitler cried himself to sleep sometimes, too.
When he couldn't sell that artwork. He's like, maybe I should turn to genocide.
He's like, goddamn hoverboard. The Jews' fault.
If only... Yeah, Dr. Jeff to help him. We could have saved so many people.
Hitler, where are you going, Hitler? Get back here and talk. Hitler.
Hitler? I think we've had a really big moment here today, Hitler, and now you can spread your wings.
Hitler's like, you were nicer to Star Jones than to me, and I'm out of here. Okay, so Michael comes in, and he's doing the I'm in trouble, I'll be a good husband kind of a thing, where he's pretending to be nice on camera.
Yeah.
And she goes, we're going to comment cards. And he just looks at possible affair, possible cokehead, possible ex-GameStop guy, Chef. And he's like, he just looks at him for a minute, and then he goes, can I have a beer, please? And he's like, oh, yeah. Sorry, usually we call them libations here. Sorry, sir.
And so Michael's like, so, you think the event is a success? And she's like, well, I think so, because the Caprese salad was a big hit with everyone, so I think it was a big success after all. He's like, well, I don't know. It just seemed like there wasn't enough time to put it together.
Well, like, his apology is, I don't want to fight anymore. That's not an apology, okay? Because he says, I'm sorry, because I don't ever want to fight, which is just like a blanket, I didn't do anything wrong, but we're fighting because you're a crazy woman, so I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, I said mean things, but you said you could shut down the restaurant, and that's what made me mad, because we're supposed to be partners. And he said, well, the point was, we're supposed to be a team, and you didn't even care what I said. Michael, she did care what you said. She's been trying to get you to change something for months, and you just keep saying no because it's yours. Don't pretend that you're, like, being equal here.
Yeah, you can't do, like, you can't make a unilateral decision and then claim it's in because it's a team effort. It's literally two concepts that are in direct conflict with each other. You know, you can't just make a rash decision. You're going to shut down the restaurant, and you're not going to loop in your business partner and then say, I'm shutting it down because of teamwork.
Yeah, and he does things where he tries to make her feel crazy. He's like, well, we're fighting because you were defensive. Yeah. It's like, yeah, because you're attacking. That's why she's defensive.
You know what? There's no emu in team, okay? There's no emu in team.
Well, she says, I need him to respect me even though I'm young. Don't discount me just because I'm young. That's what happens to unsold clothes when they're not sold.
And then they go to a discount store, and those are old clothes. I'm young clothes. You just bought me.
It's like, respect your new purchase, Michael.
Yes. So then we go over to Karen and Giselle, who are having lunch at a place called Summer House Santa Monica, which maybe I was like, are we going to have a spinoff Summer House episode that's also going to be a backdoor pilot on the Potomac? Because that's a really strange crossover.
They're featuring a margarita machine.
And rosé.
They're like, would you like to order a taco? Because we've got the taco contract. It's Summer House. It's all rosé and frozen drinks.
Aunt Rhonda. AR. Carl.
So this is where Karen starts her whole, you know, Karen's in a super snotty mood this whole episode.
Which is great, which is how I like
it. Yeah. And she's saying, well, I've been so busy looking at houses that I haven't been able to mother these young girls and mentor them through their lives. Oh, good Lord, Karen.
Yeah, exactly. So her Karen is on a path for reconciliation. Am I speaking English? Is that a word, reconciliation?
Well, she wants to get everyone else to reconciliate so she can fight. Fight with them clearly.
She wants everyone to say sorry. So basically, yeah, she's bringing together Giselle and Monique so they can clear the air, they can get on the same page, and Karen is a neutral party, so she claims, and she's going to get them speaking properly to each other. But here's the problem, is that Monique brings Shasha along as help, and Karen Huber does not appreciate that.
Also, Karen makes a very good point. She's like, well, I love Giselle, but she should watch it because we all like Monique, and she could be ostracized very quickly, which is true because they're going to go to a lake house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to go to, if the rich one says, I'm taking you on a ski trip, they're going to go.
Yeah.
So Giselle's like basically blocking herself from shooting.
Yeah.
And Karen's like, and we'll let her, you know?
Yeah.
So Monique comes in and she's like, let's talk about the important thing.
Well,
Refillable breadsticks.
And I like that when Karen sees Charisse, Karen just goes, I didn't invite you. Just blatantly is like, no, you're not supposed to be here. And then Karen goes, Monique and Giselle need a fair and impartial person here, and that person is moi. I'm like, we've never been fair and impartial, by the way.
No.
Not even close to it.
And that's why it's so fun. So Giselle finally comes in. And they start having a typical Real Housewives of Potomac fight where everybody is fighting way too big just because, you know, they're on TV and it's a scene. And Giselle is the funniest one with this every time because Monique tells her, look, Giselle, me and Giselle, we just ain't meshing. So just why don't you give me a chance, get to know me, and then if you don't like me, then it's okay. Then it's okay because at least you don't like me and you're not just liking me because of a fish tank in my kitchen or whatever. Yeah. And Giselle goes, well, to be honest with you, wait, because Giselle's ultimate sign of disrespect in a fight is to eat while you're talking and chew really loudly in your face. So now she's taking it a step further and choking. And Monique goes, you about to lie. And you choking on limes.
Yeah. She goes, God's like, I don't like it when people tell lies. So he just choked her right from the start. Meanwhile, I would like to mention that I'm surprised that you didn't go in on the waiter. I thought for sure you were going to hate the waiter in this scene. And secondly, I also got like irrationally annoyed when Charisse said, I'll have the moist medium turkey burger, please. I was like, shut up, Charisse.
Is it called that? The moist medium?
I was wondering. I didn't know. If it was, then I have some doubts about Summer House restaurant. If it isn't called that, then I don't even know what's going on.
Who orders a medium turkey burger? Is that
and
even
that's the
safe?
Other thing. That's the other thing. I was like, a medium turkey burger? Like, turkey burgers only come in one temperature, and that is done.
Cooked, yeah.
Cooked.
I would like the moist salmonella. On the bun.
Well, I hear that seafood is really good for cholesterol, so I'll have some salmonella, please.
This low rent ass show, I love it.
Yeah, she's
trying to sound
a medium
fancy
turkey burger.
A moist medium. Good luck with that.
Here's how I want my turkey burger. I want it cooked through, but keep it pink in the middle. That's all. That's how Thatha rocks.
Champagne moon. Champagne moon.
Why puke with salmonella when you can laugh in a champagne boom?
So the fight gets going again, and Monique's like, look, I just extended an invitation to my home. And as soon as you walked in, it's like, and then we get a clip of Giselle. And then when we cut back, Giselle's like eating nachos loudly. She's like, oh, I said sorry. And she goes, well, I heard you, but I didn't feel you.
Yeah, and then Monique, and well, that's well. Monique said, "I heard you, but I didn't feel you." But then Monique said, "Well, you know, I wanted to apologize, which is why I asked for your number." And Giselle was like, "You didn't ask for my number; you told me." I was like, "You know, you bitches are crazy.
You bitches are real. That wasn't a crazy question; it was a statement." And Monique's like, "I ain't begging a woman for her number. I don't want your crusty ass panties." And Giselle said, "She said, well, you called me a stuck up trick, and I don't even know what a trick is." Come on, Giselle. You are a trick.
And Monique's like, well, I don't like the curse, so I'll say tricks. That way I don't curse, as if it's like some saintly gesture.
Person doesn't know what a trick is?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you not read that this is hashtag Shady Sunday, ma'am?
Yes.
If the little like 20-year-old Nebushi interns can write hashtag Shady Sunday, then you have to know what a trick is. Come on.
You've Giselle's at least like, watched... they're not tricks, they're illusions.
So let's see. Giselle starts doing her hand motion where she does that Heather Dubrow claw hands, but like squishing the whole face with her hand.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't you wave your hand at me. Don't you wave your hand at me. And now they're like fighting in an Olive Garden. And Giselle's like, listen, money doesn't buy you class. Money doesn't buy you manners. I'm like, you just ate nachos with your mouth open, squashed your hand in somebody's face. Please.
So then Charisse, she goes, excuse me, but this isn't about you. It's about me. You guys are my friends.
And then
Karen's
she starts
like,
fake crying.
And she's like, well, all that I'm going through, I need you to be happy right now. I'm like, what are you doing? You are renovating a room to put champagne in.
And not even you. You're
my hoverboard needs to be recharged, and I don't know where the recharger is, okay? I'm going through a lot right now. I need to be happy for me.
Yeah, she tries to steal it with her own fake tears. And Karen's like, no tears. If you want to talk about something, she said no tears. And Charisse is like, well, I think that me and Karen have some issues. And Karen says, well, if we do, we can talk about it another day, one-on-one, like this lunch was supposed to be.
Yeah, like this lunch was supposed to be one of we three women, and I'd be perfectly situated in the middle. But now I'm askew and equally in the middle with you. I wonder how you would feel about that if you had tried to make some sort of equal positioning.
Miss Giselle is coming along, but she did eat the entire tray of nachos in one anger swoop. And I don't appreciate it. And Giselle's like, you didn't eat. She's like, how could I? It's a tornado at this table. Your mouth is sucking up everything.
How could I eat when I'm sitting here askew, not really in the middle, just sort of on one half of the table, which is really not the intent. How can anyone eat under these circumstances? I'm not sure.
So then we get a butt crack commercial, which is the best thing I've ever seen on TV. It's for Liquid Drano, and everyone's a plumber, so everyone's butt crack is hanging out. And I have to say, Hollywood has really even whitewashed butt cracks, because they're all like perfectly shaved and cute. Like, you want a butt crack? Bring my butt crack onto that Drano commercial, okay? Let's get some real butt crack on there, Drano.
Yeah. So then when we come back, Monique and Chris are working out at the house, and Monique wants to throw a party for Milani. Chris is like, that sounds like a great idea.
It's love parties. Let's get it on.
Now let's work on our core. Let's do our abs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'm not going anywhere with them. I'm just counting.
Let's do sit-ups. 5, 4, 5.
So Monique's
every time
like,
he comes back down from the set, the whole house shakes.
They make him come down a stalk because he can't get on there. Well, does this house have enough room for a stalk? We need to grow something in the middle of the living room for Chris to get to bed.
It's like gym class.
Monique's like, we're having a birthday party for our one-year-old Milani. And the Samuels love to throw a party, especially at our 19,000-acre, $15 zillion multi-side hearted home.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And this right here is why you're annoying, Monique. You had to throw in the stats of your lake house in Vienna, Virginia.
See, this is what I'm always on the fence about on these shows. Like, Aviva Drescher made me crazy with it, because every time she would come on screen, she'd be like, here we are in our zillion-dollar car parking on the shoulder, whatever. And I was like, right. You're so stuck up. Not but don't you think elevator. They kind of make them do that?
Yeah, I think that I also feel that way, too. Like, I feel like they probably have her say that, but it still annoys me.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
I'm like, irrationally, I don't give her the pass on this one. Where I give other people the pass. Like, well, the producers probably made her say that. But I don't know. It sort of annoys me because she didn't have to say that the bottle of wine was $750 marked down to $250, you know?
Yeah, and she throws it out every 5 seconds.
Yeah. So anyway, Monique is
like, well, how much is this party gonna cost? Get it on.
And she's like, well, there's at least 200 people there. And he said, your budget's 20 grand. And she's like, well, 20 grand, that's a soft cost. If you include the hard costs, it's probably like 30 grand. So I'm within the budget, just not his.
Oh, really? How many concussions did you get to earn that extra $15,000?
My brain may be jello, but I can still change an ATM pin, bitch.
Now, where have we seen this before? Really every show.
Yeah.
But especially Married to Medicine. And look what happened when Toya did this to Eugene. Exactly. Everything was spending this much, that much. My husband's rich. My husband's rich. Now they broke.
Yeah.
What you should have did was stay within the $20,000 budget.
Here's what you should have done. You should have just gone to a bowling alley like any adult does. I mean, by the way, how about this? How about you invite 7 people over because the baby's 1 year old? Okay, 1 year old. Yeah. All right, we don't need 200 people to celebrate a baby that can't even process what's going on. It's drooling and, you know, doesn't even care about the goats.
You're only
going to
make it more depressing when you guys are bankrupt and she's 5 and understands what's happening.
You know,
she's already
going to
have seen those pictures on the iCloud of her first birthday and her mother spending all of her college money. Like, you're really just digging yourself a mom grave.
Hey, Monique, you know who spent $30,000 on a daughter's birthday? You know who did that? Taylor Armstrong, okay? And we know exactly how that turned out. Exactly.
Yeah. So, of course, anyway. Chris would break the whole damn beam of the house.
Well, I wasn't implying that. I was just implying just general unhappiness. Oh. And
okay, good.
I don't think Chris is ever capable.
Don't ruin your own house, too.
I think Chris is unable. That's something Chris will be unable to do in his life.
Yeah, he's going to have to do it the old-fashioned drowning way or something. No. Okay, yeah, I don't even mean to
dark.
Go into
this
suicide.
Is getting dark.
Yeah, it is, but the point
Sorry,
is...
it's my fault. I mentioned Taylor Armstrong. When you mention her, it's like ghosts and spirits enter the podcast.
Yeah, Taylor Armstrong, there's so much darkness around Taylor Armstrong. That's like the lightest thing that's happened to Taylor Armstrong. I mean, that is like a really dark story.
We still don't know what ever happened to Snowball. That's what I'm going to put that one out there.
Yeah, so, still sharing a crate with the daughter.
Yeah.
She's going to spend all his money, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't want it. She's going to invite the whole town except Giselle.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, we don't vibe. And Chris just goes, no. Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. No. He still won't stand up to this little pipsqueak. And she's like, I'm spending all your money. Good luck playing senior citizen football. I hope they still have that.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy. Well, yeah, it's called Canada. So, oh gosh. Meanwhile,
oh, I have to point out that the trash can,
the trash truck has arrived.
Well, see, that's a sign, Monique.
I could not be more appropriate when talking about Potomac that a trash truck shows up. And you can hear the clattering of old white microwaves as they get tossed.
Ready
in.
To take Monique's life away that she's pretending to have.
So
Monique says, well, Giselle, you know, I don't know why Giselle's mad at me. Maybe I remind her of what life was like for her before everything happened. LOL.
Yeah.
I mean, good call, but still bitch move.
Yeah, well, that cuts both ways because guess what? Giselle's man cheated on her. So,
possibly with Phaedra.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that rumor.
Did we talk about that? That Giselle's ex-husband, the slutty preacher,
is the one
is rumored to be Mr. Chocolate on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I don't know if we mentioned that he was Mr. Chocolate, but I think that Phaedra mentioned on the reunion, right, that she would talk to him to get advice, and then I think they said his name, and it was like, oh, that's Giselle's.
Yeah, it's Giselle's ex, and the rumors are that that's Chocolate, and she's been having an affair with him forever. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, that's perfect for Phaedra, like a shady, slutty preacher. I mean, that is a match made in heaven. She'll finally go up against someone her equal.
Yeah. Does that mean that she's going to come on to Potomac? Because she needs a job.
Yeah, she's going to need a job.
God, well, anyway, promise. Over in Potomac, Karen is bringing some wine over to Ray in the living room, and we learn that they received a cash offer from China on the house, so it's time to move on out, and they either have to get a rental or buy something quickly. And there's a house in Great Falls, Maryland, which is only 20 minutes away, that Karen has her eyes on. And, you know, she'll be very sad to leave Potomac for all the stuff that she has worked for there, and I'm not sure what that is, like maybe a Subway punch card, but she'll be happy to take her punch card over to Great Falls, Maryland.
It's only 20 miles away. The title of Grand Dame goes with me anywhere I go.
Yeah. And I actually do think that's a pretty transferable title, because I don't think anyone gives a shit about Potomac or Great Falls. Yeah. It's not like saying you're the Grand Dame of Manhattan. It's like, I'm the Grand Dame of a suburban community.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't really count anyway when you name yourself, you know? It's like on Southern Charm, they named their child Saint. Like,
yeah,
you know, he doesn't get an automatic statue in a Catholic church, right? It's,
yeah, it's exactly.
Or a medical show. President of the United States.
Yeah.
Karen Herbert Walker.
Grand Dame of the Mason-Dixon line. So.
Huger Walker. What am I talking about?
I honestly don't know what I'm saying.
My brain is jello. I know.
I feel like I was like working the O-line with Chris there on the Redskins field, because I have no idea what the words are coming out of my mouth right now.
I think that Karen could be the president if it was like 24. And she's like, Jack,
yes.
That is against the rules. Now I've printed the rules for you on a
well
askew piece of paper in this Ross Dressler left frame.
If Karen Huger were on 24, we all know she would not be the president. She would just be the bureaucrat that runs CTU, because that's her thing. She would stand in a little glass box above the floor and look down and be like, Jack, this is not how we interrogate people. We do not use torture. We use manners. Jack.
This is unacceptable, Jack.
Hey, Charisse, could you bring me the reports about Jack? Charisse. You are my assistant. You are not the co-head of CTU, Charisse.
I just asked you to help me, Charisse.
Jack.
It's not Charisse TU.
It really should be KTU, but there's not a radio station in New York called that, so we call it CTU. All right, Charisse.
Hold on. KTU is calling. KTU, I've asked you to stop playing Donna Summer. It's just rude.
But I would like to put in a request for Lizette Melendez. Thank you very much, KTU. Anyway, Jack, there's a hostel on the third floor. Sorry, I was putting in my request. Are you still there, Jack?
Hey,
my song
KTU,
should be coming up any
this
moment.
This is Karen again. Please dedicate this song to Jack Bauer. Jack?
Jack, I'm patching you through to KTU. You won't be hearing me. I know that the enemies are closing in, but you will be hearing my request very shortly, and then I'll come back on. Jack? Where the hell is Chloe?
So the next scene is Robin goes to a therapist. Now, thankfully, this is not Dr. Jeff.
No. Her name, I think, was Keir, something like that, like Keir Royale. So I love that Robin.
Royale, I don't know you, and I'm a queen.
I'm a queen. That's why I work with the United States government. So Robin sits down and she's like, "Oh, I've never done this before. Not that I need to." I'm like, Robin, denial ain't just a river somewhere in the world, okay? Specifically, Africa.
I'm sick of talking about wine. I know people don't understand our relationship, and they just don't get it.
So this therapist is no Dr. Jeff, but unfortunately she's no Dr. Laura either. This woman's like, let's understand your feelings. And it might be good for Robin because she does explain the thing, like long distance relationships since high school. He's a cheater. And then she goes, I think I'm guarded emotionally because of the cheating. Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow. Good job.
I know.
Good
and then,
job, Robin.
And then she goes, and he has another breakthrough. She goes, oh. I just don't think I want to be disappointed again. Maybe that's why I don't put myself out there. Wow, bombshells all around.
And the doctor says, so are you, has there been no conversation? You guys haven't even talked about your situation at all?
She's like, well, he talks about it to the producers when he tells them he wants me to die in my sleep, but I'm not really there, so it doesn't count.
And then she's like, do you want love? Don't we all? Robin, do you want love? I got love for my kids. Robin, I eat Ben and Jerry's. That's pretty loving. Robin, it was like very good Will Hunting. Do you want love? And she's like,
I just wrote, do you want love?
No, I'm very competitive in tennis.
This is not a test. This has been a test from the emergency broadcast system.
Flash flood warning. Like a very sad announcement. There was an earthquake. So the therapist is basically like, okay, here's your homework. I want you to go and define trust, like from the dictionary, define what it means. And, oh, yeah, by the way, go on a few dates. Like, that's a pretty big step that she has to take.
So Karen and Charisse next. They're,
Look, flamingos.
It's the backyard.
Yeah.
And Charisse is new, young, like, willing to try anything, Charisse. So she's like, you want to dump in the pool with me? I'm like, wow, Charisse, ooh, you're living large today.
So,
and Karen's like, I can't. I have so much on my mind.
She's like, literally, my wig is huge. It's literally pressing on my mind.
My neck hurts.
Yeah.
Selling the house, moving, it's just so much. And Charisse says, well, just sell it. And she's like, oh, we did. China. Money's in the account, honey. Yeah. I'm like, you know that is like a Nigerian email scam. And PayPal has taken back that money the second you sign over that house.
Well, I thought what was weirder was Charisse trying to find something shady about it. Because Charisse was like, I think it's weird that Karen is a movie. Like, I think it's odd that Karen could sneak out of town when my girl fold a house. And I'm like,
this is Charisse's new thing today. This is what I was going to say earlier. Her new saying today is, I find it odd that Charisse got money because I hope she got what she wanted because that price went down, 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 down. And then Karen says, well, you know, I want she says something about the memories of the house. And Charisse goes, we can create memories in the pool. I find it odd that she had trouble finding her home because Monique found the home like boom, suggesting she's poor.
But it's also like what a stupid observation. Like, people finding a house is a process, and it's not easy, and it's not quick. Some people find something quickly, especially if they have like an NFL husband who's got millions upon millions and can drop it on some crazy house.
Yeah, the suggestion is that she's poor.
Right.
Like, the flat-out suggestion is that she's poor. She's being so shady. And then Karen goes, well, I was thinking of planning a trip. And Charisse goes, I find it odd. I swear to you.
I find it odd
that she can just sneak out of her home if she's working so hard.
I find it odd that she's working so hard to find the house, and yet she doesn't even want to sit on my inflatable flamingo.
So, already planning with Josique. Oh,
Josique.
They were talking about Josique, Jiz, and Monique.
Who is Josique?
I told you it's drunk. I made her Josique in my notes when I was drunk last night.
Jack, you have to go meet with Josique. She has files for you.
Karen says, well, God doesn't put more on your shoulders than you can handle. Oh, yeah, God's up there planning, like, man, I hope this crazy rich lady is able to get lots of money for a house and then is able to buy another house for a lot of money. You know, God has shit to do, Karen.
So the group does. So Karen's like, that's what I want to have a vacation. You know, maybe something like St. Thomas, or I don't remember if she said St. Thomas or Cherise said St. Thomas, but one of them said St. Thomas, then one of them said Bermuda.
And it's like, Cherise did, because she's like, I did a conference in Bermuda. It's like, okay. So Karen's like, shorts, well, Bermuda, we're shorts. The mature ones in this group, so let's do it together.
Yeah.
And then she tells us, well, she'll be a good helper because she's very good at organization, but who's better to be the hostess than me?
Karen Huger, I will fax everyone their invitation shortly.
Everyone wants to be invited by the queen. So Karen's like, well, I need my planning crown. And Charisse is like, I get the crown. And Karen says, I just asked you to help.
You know, sure, this is why I really think Charisse is the worst, because it is sort of bullshit. It was Karen's idea. She was like, we should go on a vacation. I want to go on a vacation. Charisse says Bermuda, fine. But Charisse does not then all of a sudden get to co-opt this thing and get the crown. I'm sorry, she does not get the crown. Karen gets the vacation crown.
Well, they both get the crown. Even Karen, this is the dumbest fight ever, so I can't even believe we're going to argue
meaning
for 2 seconds about it.
They both get the crown, but if someone were to get, if there's only one crown, I would give it to Karen.
Well, Karen never gets anything done, as we remember later in this episode. But yeah. She goes, Charisse picked Bermuda. And Karen was the first one to say, we're the mature one, so let's do it together. And then even after all this crown fighting, Karen goes, well, we both have crowns. She said something like that. And I was like, oh, God, now this is going to be a season-long fake fight with Karen.
Yeah.
But I love snitty Karen, so I'm glad it's coming.
But the thing is this, you know that, like, that's like Charisse's style, though, would be to, like, I want it. Like, I mean, Karen has her thing, like, well, I'm going to have the crown. But I feel like Charisse is the girl who, like, wants to take your toys.
Yes.
You know?
That's true. She, like, literally just wants another crown.
She wants a flamingo.
Yeah. Another flamingo. She's like, can I have your crown? What does your crown look like?
Yeah.
Hobby Lobby or Michaels? Tell me the truth. I don't have to. I'm the grand dame of this flamingo pool.
I have the crown and the scepter. How about that? You know, all this talk about traveling really makes me think about luggage. And I mention that because we have a brand new sponsor. It's Away, and they're really cool. They design special objects for modern travel, like luggage and stuff.
Yeah, their tagline is first-class luggage at a coach price, which is true. We actually got 2 carry-ons from them. They're really nice, hard-case, zip-up, lockable carry-ons that also have a battery inside to charge your phone up to 5 times.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I, like, literally... cannot. I've never seen anything like that before, so I'm like super excited to have a high-tech piece of carry-on luggage.
I know. Who knew?
Yeah.
It's also the perfect Father's Day gift, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. They're doing this whole promotion where you can give the dad in your life one of their carry-ons, and then they'll also throw in a shave kit from Harry's and a collection of stories about the men who have changed the way we've seen the world.
Yeah, it actually is a really thoughtful way to say thanks to your dad, because it's hard to find dad's shit, you know? Dads always get stuck with ties and socks and all sorts of crap. You know what makes dads happy? Carry-on that they know is going to fit in the damn overhead.
Yeah, okay. That they can also charge their phone with. That way they can be like, hey, do you have a cable? Like, no, use your bag, dad.
Exactly. It doesn't take much to please a dad, but things like organization and getting on and off a plane easily, that wins, you guys.
That wins. So they actually have a lifetime warranty, and if anything breaks, they'll fix it or replace it for life. And they also do a 100-day trial, which is the way they say it is that you live with it, you vibe with it, you travel with it, you can Instagram it. And then if at any point you decide it's not for you, you just return it for a refund. No questions asked.
And it's free shipping on any Away order within the lower 48 states.
Yeah.
We have a special offer, of course. For $20 off any carry-on purchase, a free Harry shave kit, and the stories collection book, visit awaytravel.com/Father's Day and use our promo code CRAPPINS during checkout while supplies last. Go to awaytravel.com/Father's Day and use promo code CRAPPINS. And that's for $20 off any carry-on purchase, a free Harry shave kit, and stories collection box.
Yeah, go do it. It's cool.
Do it, everybody. The offer is valid until June 18th, 2017. If you order before then and choose expedited shipping, you'll receive it in time for Father's Day.
Woot, woot, woot.
So we cut between a swinging exercise class.
Like, yeah.
I don't know what that was.
It was basically, yeah, it was like this really quick montage where basically the other women learn that there's going to be a trip. It was like nothing. It was just like two scenes, like quick scenes, like women in a sling exercising and other women, and it's like whatever.
Yeah, so the rest of this, the biggest thing in this episode is the party for the one-year-old, you know, yeah. The typical running around before, and Monique, you know, saying stat a lot and pretending she's working. She comes down in a bikini, her whole family is down there getting ready for the party, and she's like, I hope you're all ready to work. I'm like, they are ready. They're working already. You were upstairs adjusting your tits and, like, yeah, putting on makeup.
Yeah. Also, I actually really resent when she's like, well, if you come, you know, if you come to a Samuel's party early, you're going to be put to work. I'm like, I actually resent that. I do not like that. I do not like going to a party and being put to work. I actively dislike that. And if you do that to me, chances are I will probably not go back to your party unless I really like you a lot.
Well, so the rule is always come late so you don't set up, and always leave early so you don't clean up.
Thank you. And you know what? Everything was so, like, you know, everything was caught in traffic, and so people had to help set up and everything. You know what? That's a poorly planned party. I'll say that. And on top of that, I will also say it wouldn't have been an issue if she just gotten a freaking cake from Carvel and a few, like sound maker things, whatever, some party hats, some presents, and a karaoke machine. Done.
Yeah, it's not for the kid, it's for the mom. Obvs. So her, like, to-do list of things that she's out trying to get people on top of is hilarious. She's like, that lawn furniture needs to be closer to the pool. Where are the tiki torch sticks? Where's the pastor leaf? Where is the pastor leaf? P-H?
Yeah, leaf.
And she's like, well, their flight is delayed. And she's like, I will be so devastated if my pastor doesn't make it.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, because we learn. I was like mid rolling of my eyes, like my eye was like at the noon position, and then she's like, "Cause we're doing a baby dedication." I was like, "Oh, fine, fine."
Well, Charisse arrives and it's like, "I find it odd that there's a goat factory right next to a pear," and she sits in this chair right next to the petting zoo, and these goats are like going straight for the cha-cha, you know, the cha-cha-cha.
Well, they tell her, like, be careful of the big one, he's aggressive, and then she, like, sits right next to the big one.
Yeah, and then as they, like, force their heads on her, because goats are not easy animals, you know, no, they're basically trying to, like, ram her, and she's sitting
no
right
pun
next
intended
to them. And she doesn't get up and move. She just goes,
I find it odd that these goats keep trying to eat things off of me. It's almost like they sense some sort of power, almost like I'm wearing a crown. That you heard of here first. The goats have declared, I'm the queen of the trip. The goat said it.
I heard that, Charisse. It's my crown. It's like
maybe
Karen
the reason
from the
why
kitchen.
Maybe the reason why the goats like me is because they see that I'm a fellow goat, as in greatest of all time, hashtag crown, hashtag champagne.
I don't feel good. That doofy medium turkey sandwich made me feel bad.
I find it odd that I always feel so thick after I have a medium rare turkey burger.
So Ashley shows up, and everyone's like, where's Michael? Where's Michael? She's like, he's at the beach house. And Charisse goes, I find it odd seeing her without Michael. They're like Sunny and Cher. I was like, okay, you're too stupid to realize that Sunny and Cher went through a terrible divorce. Like, if that was a subtle joke on her part, it would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
But poor Charisse.
Yeah, poor Charisse.
Poor Charisse.
I find it odd that Charisse doesn't find it odd that it makes sense that Michael escapes away to Rehoboth. Because, I mean, Rehoboth is like a... Never mind. We all learned it last season. We saw it all last season. No need for me to retread.
I wish Giselle had been here to say, do you have an air conditioner yet?
Yeah, he's getting it installed.
Oh. So Monique's parents are there, and they're really young. And Ashley's like, her parents are even younger than Michael and way younger than Karen, let's face it.
I find it odd that you have such young parents, Monique. What's the secret? You can tell me, because I'm wearing the crown. Wearing the crown, Karen.
What you say between You and a queen is consequential.
I heard that, Sasha.
So let's see. She basically gets advice from Kevin, the ex-father, and he basically says, look, you know, when you have a man and you're in love, that's great. But when you start trying to control him, that's when things break down. And she's like,
wow, that's crazy, because that is what's happening. Let's talk about it.
So it's basically marriage advice from a divorced guy, which, you know, it's like taking relationship advice from me, who's never in one.
It's, you got to take it with a grain of salt. Although the problem is that Ashley serves her food underseasoned. So I feel like I just got real sassy right there. That was like a shasha. I find it odd that Ashley never take something with a grain of salt. But at the same time, her food is underseasoned.
Like sunny and fair. Like, nope, still doesn't make sense, Charisse.
These goats are like sunny and fair.
So the girls gather around to gossip, and Robin's like, this
group, you know, I think we just need to find some balance.
And Charisse goes, well, I am balanced. And Karen goes, oh, really? Because I don't think you're balanced. You're unbalanced. And then starts doing that Karen, like, ugh. Because Shaw had the nerves to say, we're planning a trip together.
Well, because Shasha said, well, the thing is this. She said, I throw events. I organize things. Like that's, yo, we've never really. She had Giselle cook her own crabs, okay? That's what I'm trying to get at, okay? She had Giselle cook her crabs. Anyway.
And Karen says, well, it was my brainchild.
And, so Karen is mad at Shasha, and she's like, I think I'm fine. I'm balanced right now. Oh, no, wait. Sorry.
Well, first, I'm getting it all messed up.
You're right. Shasha
said,
I got all discombobulated. Shasha said, I think I'm fine. I'm balanced right now. And then Karen goes, right now? And then Shasha's like, oh, I feel like I'm feeling something between us. I'm feeling something. And Karen goes, I feel absolutely nothing.
And she says, well, I think you have an issue with me. And she goes, I don't, because I don't care. And that's when she makes her plastic clown face attitude, like, let's fight face.
Yes.
And just starts nodding a lot with that crazy Joker. Have you noticed yet where her upper lip bends right above?
Yes.
It looks like a little tiny thin mustache. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. That's like the very first thing I noticed about her. Yeah, it curls right up.
Trying to do it right now. It's a trick.
Yeah, no, it's very special. So I like that when Karen just goes, Charisse needs to take her dry life and stick in her dry lane. How dare you say I'm dry? I've got champagne.
I have dry champagne. And my champagne boom, I find it odd that you're making fun of dryness when you know champagne is fancy.
I find it odd that my favorite champagne is dry, and that's not my fault for you. Anyway. So anyway, Charisse then does say, she goes, for someone who's moving, Karen is spending more time worrying about planning the Bermuda than finding a place to live. It makes no sense. I'm like, it actually makes a perfect amount of sense. Like, you are allowed to plan a vacation while browsing houses.
Yeah, you can do two things at once, babe. So the emergency is now a non-emergency because the pastor has finally gotten off of his Southwest flight. Yeah. And he's here. And he gives a speech and he's like, people of Argentina, just kidding. He's like, everybody, Lord, I give Milani back to you as you gave her to us. I'm like, is he going to drown the baby?
Yeah,
please don't give Milani back to Jesus.
It's like Lion King.
Yeah, who says that? Leave Milani here, okay? We're not using the pool for drowning today, sir.
So it was, it was like this moment and everyone's like, yay. And then, we leave Virginia, and then it's like a day or two later, and Robin, goes and visits Giselle at the spa, and is like, Giselle, you missed the big party. And Giselle's like, well, thank God for that. I don't want to be there with those people.
And then Giselle gets to say a lot of Giselle snooty things that don't make very much sense.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I can't wait for Bermuda, because I'm ready for some billionaires on the beach. I'm like, okay. I don't know that that's how that works, but okay.
Giselle also says that Monique is a Giselle hater for no reason that anyone can understand. I'm like, I think actually she's a Giselle hater because you've been nasty to her ever since you met her.
Yeah, pretty much. But of course, Robin won't. But then Robin does do fun things where she's like, the party was ridiculous. It was at least 30 grand. It was great. My boys had a great time. I think your girls would have had a good time.
I didn't find love, though.
But Giselle does see a fight she can start, and she always loves that. Because Robin says, speaking of Bermuda, the hosts are fighting about it. Karen's obsessive. And Giselle's like, well, I can't go on Karen alone. We need Charisse. Like, yeah. Okay, next we're going to be in the Olive Garden with Giselle fighting with Karen about a co-host.
Yeah, exactly. So then, speaking of which, we then have a Bermuda planning meeting where Karen and Sasha meet up. And Karen is like, now, hear this. You know, I asked if you'd like to help with the planning. I didn't ask if you'd be co-host. I mean, you're basically my assistant. And then Sasha, of course, is like, a thithan. I find it odd that you call me a thithan when I am clearly co-crown of the chair of the board of the Bermuda Shorts Triangle.
I know I'm the thithan. I don't know if he's been out of the country. Passport? Does he even have a passport?
My good one, Charisse.
And then I like when Karen just goes, Charisse, it's not you. Got a little Whitney Houston in her there all of a sudden.
And she says, just bow out gracefully. So,
did they ever bow in gracefully? I think so. Then they decide, they sort of like resolve to have some sort of like, I think it was like King Solomon, King David thing, where you split the child in half. So basically, Karen is going to host a day, and Charisse is going to host another day, and Karen will host a dinner party, and Sasha is going to host a boat ride. And Karen's like, that's a wonderful idea. I love that. See, look, we figured it out. The crown's still mine, bitch.
I'm down with the boat ride. Do you feel better? Do you feel better? And then Charisse says, I think that Karen is acting crazy because she has to move. I have to say, this show does one thing better than any other Housewives show. Honestly, they see what is behind the real fight. Or they see the realness behind whatever they're using as an excuse to fight. So most shows, it's like, I'm mad because you said this at a party, but it's really because of another reason. And this show, they go straight to the other reason every week. They're like, Therese is acting crazy, but it's really only because she's hurt because of her husband. Right. Karen is acting like a total bitch, but she's just sad about moving. You know, yeah. They're like that. Very
but
nice.
I,
nice
I also feel like,
guys.
But I feel like Charisse is trying to gaslight us and trying to be like, isn't Karen so crazy? Because she should be worried about moving, and instead she's worried about this. Isn't she crazy? Shouldn't she be worried about moving more? What's wrong with Karen? I'm like, nothing is wrong. She's just moving. It's like she's literally just moving.
Charisse is too dumb to gaslight anybody. She'd be like, look, the light is on.
She would light herself on fire.
Yeah, she'd start herself on fire. She'd just turn on the kitchen light. That's made out of gas. No, it's not. It's electricity. Stop gaslighting me.
She just thinks that gaslighting only pertains to light bulbs. You can't gaslight anyone unless it's talking about light bulbs. That's why I named my daughter Kerosene.
Ashley and Michael go to have a dirty dancing sex scene with Whoopi Goldberg Was that that's not when he kissed Whoopi Goldberg, right, in that movie during this pottery scene?
No.
That was a different scene, right?
Yeah, no. So first of all, it's not dirty dancing. It's Ghost.
Oh, it's Ghost.
Yes. Yeah, I really feel like it was important to correct that.
I know. Patrick Swayze. I'm like,
because they probably will be reenacting Dirty Dancing soon enough.
Yeah, if I see one Patrick Swayze thing and put it in there, I figure it'll work for it. I'm like, in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, when they made pottery around that wheel and Demi Moore was behind Patrick. No.
Yes. You're like, and then the Russians invaded that small town.
The remake of Priscilla, I mean. What was the American
remake,
version
just came out
with
the same
Wesley?
Tu Wong Fu. Whatever it's called. But either
I'm
way.
I'm just going to be quiet now. Okay.
No. Speak your truth. But yes, so they are. So is Demi Moore was making pottery, and then he came in as a terrestrial being, and then like got all sexy with her in the pottery. But then I think later on he came in ghost form and made her pottery all sexy again. So anyway, this is like the bastardization of that, because it's basically Ashley and Michael is sitting there, and he essentially makes a penis out of his pottery. And he's like, this feels familiar. I'm like, see, I was going to cut myself off from making a Rehoboth Beach comment. And now you bring it to the show yourself.
Well, he's bringing in all the dad jokes, because he's like, hello, pottery people. We're today's guinea pig. I mean, students. Look, I've made a dick. I recognize that one, eh? And she's like,
you know, he's really doing great trying to make this light with his charm. But it can't.
Like his charm.
Yeah.
His dad jokes. So he's really trying to be nice in this situation, because he knows he really fucked up, because she threatened to leave. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you know, we can have a baby now. And she's like,
I don't think so.
And then he gulps. Shit. And then his relationship advice, because she is putting it out. She's like, are we partners? What are we doing? Are we partners in our relationship? Are we partners in life? And he still won't admit to anything. His sorry is like, well, I'm sorry that you had to fight with me. It's like, no, that's not a sorry.
Yeah.
And then he goes, look, I look at us like 1 + 1 = 3. And now it's 1 + 1 = 2. What does that mean?
I think he said less than 2. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I guess that when we're together, we're greater than, our relationship is greater than just the two of us. But now it's less than the two of us, maybe. I'm not sure.
Now it's just the two of us? It's weird.
I don't know. I'm not good at math. That's okay. A lie. I'm very good at math.
It's not even math. He wasn't mathing. It's like 1 + 1 = 3, which means it was stupid. And now 1 + 1 = 2, which is sensible. Thanks. So I'm confused. She's confused. Everybody's confused. She's thankful she didn't have a baby with him when she wanted to, because she wouldn't be able to leave him as easily.
Yeah, because she's like, are we still in love? And he's like, yeah.
She's like,
no, you're missing it.
He goes, I'd like to talk about this again, meaning so I can yell at you when the cameras aren't here, bitch. Yeah.
Let's table this. Here, let me continue to fondle my pottery dildo, and then afterwards we can discuss babies.
Did you not hear my guinea pig joke? I'm working so hard today.
Oh, man. So that was Potomac. We'll see. Next week they go on vacation, which is always a recipe for disaster. It looks like there'll be some fight. It looks like Robin and Karen get into a fight, which is sort of exciting. And then speaking of vacation, we have invite-only Cabo, which we can touch upon. There really was only like two main things that happened this episode, right? First was that Kamani went to the hospital, and everyone was just like waiting around in the waiting room, crying, saying prayers. I mean, like, is she going to survive? Is she okay?
They were really laying it on thick, especially Hat. He's like, she has children. She has children.
Which one is Hat?
Boy band guy.
Oh, Malaku. I heard that Malaku had a stroke.
Oh my god. Well, at least I just called him Hat. I don't think that's too mean, is it?
Malaku's my favorite one. So Malaku, get better.
Malaku and Jermaine, the little gossips.
Yeah, they're all sitting there. They all had like tears in their eyes, you know, doing prayers. And then, you know, Kamani comes out and she's in a neck brace, and I don't know why it made me laugh, but there was something about seeing Kamani in a neck brace. I guess knowing how much it was annoying her just made me laugh. But I'm glad she's okay.
Kamani lived, and I was like, eh. Kamani okay, lived. So they make, you know, after they made a prayer circle and everything, so she lived. The other big news is it's Bianca's birthday.
Wait, before you go on to Bianca's birthday, I just want to point out that I loved how mean the producers were to make her do her testimonials with her neck brace on. She had to show up there. You know, because you know they could have shot those interviews weeks later after they came out. But they're like, no, we want you to wear that neck brace right now.
You're doing it right now. And then also they showed in the middle of the night when Emily's helping her. She's like, ow, ow, I can't even take off my clothes. And Emily's like, you need my help taking off the clothes? Okay. So she gets out of bed. Of course, she's butt naked. And she's like waddles over to her and helps her.
Flopping around.
And Kamani's like, bless her heart, but girl, please put some clothes on.
Says the woman who like went on the pseudo date with Agu with her boobs hanging out the side.
Yeah, exactly. So Larry wants to do something nice for Bianca's birthday because she always has like week-long events for him, and he never even gets her a gift. And now he's got the budget of the producers, who will just basically throw her whatever party he says.
Yeah.
So how kind.
Yeah.
So like, he decides to go ring shopping with the boys, and they're like, ring shopping? Why in the world would you buy her a ring? The girl just said she wants to get married to you. And
he's like,
boy band, what's his name?
Malaku.
Why can't I remember
just
that?
Call Malaku. Him Hat. Just call him Hat.
Malaku says he's trying to tell Larry everything, because Larry doesn't understand anything, so he's always breaking it down in the simplest ways. He's like, well, if you get the ring, it could create this, oh, this is my promise ring, or maybe an engagement ring.
And Larry's like, got it. So I will get her a ring to make sure there's no confusion that we are not getting married, right? No. Get her like a necklace. Got it. I'll get her a necklace, and then I'll get down on one knee and say, will you marry me? And it'll be obviously a joke. Got it.
And I'll tie it around her ring finger.
And I'll take off the band, the string part, and then just put the charm on her finger. Got it.
Yeah. Okay, got it. So I'm going to just get her a ring, but instead of a diamond, it'll be her birthstone. And he's like, well, that could possibly make her think of giving birth. Okay, got it. I've got it.
Okay, how about this? How about I book a venue and like put it in like quotes as like Bianca and Larry's wedding, and then invite everyone to it, and I'll even like get her a wedding dress, and it'll be just a great confirmation of our friendship.
I just want her to know that when I give her this ring, it's my promise to her that I'm going to be by her side through thick or thin, for better or worse, through sickness and health. For richer or for poorer. Well, that could possibly be understood as a lifelong commitment. It is.
I was thinking that, like, before I give her this, that maybe we could go down to the church and pray about it. But I like to sort of sequence it out. So maybe, like, I'll go there first, and you can come with me, and we can just stand at the front, and then we'll be like, hey, Bianca, come in. And then Bianca come in, and, you know, to make it nice, she can hold some flowers in her hand, and then she can walk up to me, and then I'll present the ring, and I think she'll realize that since we're at a church with Jesus, it's clearly a moment of great friendship.
Okay, how about – I got it. How about I give her this ring, promise to be with her forever and forever, and then I stomp on the glass. How about that?
To show that our friendship will never be shattered. Oh, wait, I got an idea. Why don't we go down to City Hall instead? Okay, like, let's not confuse this. We'll go down to City Hall. We'll find a judge. We'll have him sign our certificate and have him declare that we will always be in each other's lives. And we are going to be friends, and we're going to be friends forever, and we'll be very polite, so we can call it like a civil ceremony.
That could be construed as, so the boys have a meeting, and they all get together, and they're like, you guys, he cannot give her a fucking ring. He's crazy.
She's already crazy enough as it is. We cannot let this go on.
So Larry is like, well, Bianca does so much for me, and I never do much for her, so I'm gonna take her to a special dinner with just the two of us, so I can give her her gift and la 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 la, and make her feel special. So the boys are, he comes in and says, hey guys, and Jermaine and Larry are so funny. I mean, Jermaine and Malaku are so funny because they're such gossips, and they're always trying. They're like, what is Larry thinking? They're like the only people who cares. And yeah, Larry's always keeping them in suspense.
Well, Larry was hilarious because they're like, you know, you really shouldn't give her that ring. And he's like, no one asked me who I love. No one asked if there's anyone in my life. No one asked me about me. I'm like, Larry, what is this terror about? What is this supposed to prove? All we're saying is, don't give her a ring. Who cares if you have interest on the other side? I guess he's probably saying, if anyone asked who I was in love with, they would see that I'm not planning to marry her. Right, I guess.
But he's standing there in a sweater where his nipples are popping out, and he's wearing a really long pearl necklace over it, over his sweater. It's so good. It's like his BB fashions or whatever.
And
and Kat, no,
that's what I love. You know what, guys? Let's take this down to the elliptical machine, okay?
You guys, this is getting too heavy. Let's make this more lighthearted on the
elliptical machine.
So Malaku's like, well, look. Here, because Agu says, well, if the actions don't add up to math, which is funny. And then Malaku's like, look, what if Kamani and I started kissing? Wait, hold on. I'm dreaming. Hold on. Let me just stay here for a minute. I'm kissing Kamani. Still kissing Kamani.
She's wearing a neck brace. Oh, shit. Why did you have to say that?
So they do the argument about the ring again. And he's like, but you don't know who I love. And so Jermaine and Malaku are like, who? Who would you be talking about? And he's like, well, I don't know. And Malaku says, somebody from before. And he goes, who would you be talking about? And he goes, someone from the East Coast. And he's like, well, when I'm ready to talk about it.
Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Yeah.
I love Mayor de Blasio. There, I
Giuliani.
Said
Giuliani. He may be a dick, but he was a hero on 9/11. And, you know, it sounds good with Larry.
David Dinkins.
Every mayor.
Yeah, all every mayor.
I'm going to marry every mayor.
I have an ongoing New York City mayor crush.
So they're like, well, when Larry's ready to tell us, Larry will tell us. Which is so funny. But it's like these guys, their whole life is waiting to hear what Larry's going to do.
And note how careful they were to not use any gender pronouns. It was like, well, this person that I like. Well, there's someone that I like. Well, this person that we know. I was like, mm-hmm. And I feel bad. Someone I looked at, there was someone on our Crappins, the private Crappins group, who was like, I don't care what you say. He's straight. I was like, I don't care what you comment.
Yeah, I can't even tell anymore. Like,
No.
Straight guys walk around with pearl necklaces outside their sweaters. They're like Nelson from Southern Charm Savannah. Like, who am I to say? I don't even care anymore. Just say. Just put a sign around your neck. Tell me what you are, and we're good. I'll believe whatever you say. So,
And I don't think, by the way, I don't think that Larry's even trying to hide it. I think it's the producers that are trying to hide it. Or try to add, I think the producers are trying to have a moment, where there's going to be a shocking gay twist. But, it's not a twist to anyone in that house, you know?
Pearl necklace. That's all I can say. I mean, it works on so many levels. So my favorite scene of this whole thing is at some point, it's night, obviously, and Emily's wasted.
Yes.
She's just walking around wasted. And she goes, ah, I found some food. Yeah. I found some food. And... And Agu says, there's no meat on there. And she goes, meat? That's not my problem. Oh, chunk. Oh, chunk. She's trying to be all sexy. There's food coming out her mouth. And Jermaine is looking at her both grossed out, but also he's like, I love when you two. Are you getting a young Arsenio vibe from Jermaine?
I am. That's a great. I never thought about that, but I am getting that vibe.
I didn't get it till last night because he's coming out a little bit more, and I'm getting that when he gets all attitude-y. He gets Arsenio's face when he gets happy, mad. You know what I mean? So he's like, "I love when you chew," and Emily goes, "Oh, that's spicy! This is the best Taco Bell I ever had."
You're eating the paper towel.
Oh, I like the fabric flavor.
So Agu is cleaning up after her, which means, you know, that's like fucking language to Emily. Like any hot man who will walk behind her with a Swiffer. You know, that's what she needs. It's her soulmate. So she starts bumping her ass into his crotch and she's like, I here for you. And she's like rubbing up on his dick. And she's like, oh, why don't I go right outside and you meet me? I need cigarette. Oh, you come meet me in the outside. So
cash me outside.
So Jermaine's like, that girl with gin and jungle juice, she's a one-track mind. And she's a dog with a one-track mind. And she's getting her bone.
I like, by the way, how everyone on the show is quietly responsible, even when they're drunken messes. Like as you mentioned, Agu was swiffering. There was a shot of Jermaine cleaning a blender at one point. They're all just always constantly cleaning and making cakes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good roommates for the most part. And actually, so she goes outside and the boys, you know, Hat and what's his face? Jermaine start making fun of Agu. They're like, are you going to go for it? And he's like, no, man, come on. He's sleeping right in the next room. And Jermaine licks his lips and he goes, well, someone's wide open. Talking about Emily. Ugh. And then it cuts to Emily in a night vision shot on the patio sun chair with her head completely zonked out behind her going.
Yeah. She's already passed out. She's done. It's great. But it's moments like that where I really love this show. It's because it's just a funny, random interlude, you know? So then
I get bored, but my favorite is Emily makes me laugh every single time. And so does Larry. Larry's really funny too.
I honestly like them all. My friend Lodrick is like apparently friends with all these people, and he told me that Emily is the best. He's like, oh my god, I love that Emily. And he says Jermaine's really sweet too. But the rumor is Emily is fantastic.
Yeah, she here seems we are. Like it.
Watch her crap and spreading wonderful rumors about people.
Yeah, she seems like it. So then is the date. Larry takes Bianca out for date night, yeah. And then they all go for a group party for Bianca and give her that cake. And
yeah, because they all go out. There's a thing. They wake her up at like 9:30 in the morning to present her the cake, which I kind of think is obnoxious. I don't want to be, if it's my birthday, let me wake up at my own time, even if you have
especially a
cake.
Especially a mom. It's like, let me sleep in, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, Jesus. So they do wind up going out to a ultimately there's some stuff that happens, but they wind up going out to this restaurant, and at the restaurant that's when Larry's like, okay, I'm gonna give her the ring now. So he pulls her off to the side, but they can all still see him. He pulls her off to the side and he gives her the ring, and he's like, Bianca, I like want you to be in my life forever, and this is gonna be a reminder that we'll always be in each other's lives forever, forever. We're like family now. We're like inseparable now, and I'm giving you this ring. And he gives her the ring, and he puts it on her ring finger, on the left ring finger.
Oh, I'm so shocked! She has this tight smile, like, did he just propose?
Yeah. She's like, did he just happened? Propose? And if he did propose, is this my engagement ring? Did this come from, you know, Cabo's answer to Claire's boutique? Claricita's boutique?
And then everybody else is watching and talking about it. And Emily's like, oh, I'm putting on her base. Like, that's all she ever does. So Bianca goes, so this is like a forever ring? And he's like, yeah, forever. Oh, you've never given me anything, but now we're closer because this symbolizes unconditional love, you know. And so they go talk to she doesn't get alone time with the guys yet. Larry has to leave town.
Yeah, he's going to Phoenix for something.
But she does tell everybody else. They're like, oh, how do you feel? And she's like, it's like a fairy tale in sickness and in health.
I'm just trying to think of a really shitty fairy tale. Like, what's one that no one ever really seems to like? Rumpelstiltskin. One of those uncharismatic fairy tales you just learn.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So yeah, but then Larry, he texts them when he's out in Phoenix. He texts them and they're all out at, they're all eating, and he's like, hey guys, I'm coming back. And I'm bringing someone special with me. Something like that. I think I fell asleep at this part. It was like the last minute, and I like fell asleep at the last minute. I'm like, ugh, whatever. But I think he texts him saying, there's basically going to be like a new roommate, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the cliffhanger. So we're going to find out next
week. So
they're
trying to figure out if it's a girl or a boy.
All that stuff. Should be exciting.
And Bianca thinks it's a girl. And they're like, why would you think it's a girl? And she goes, because if it was a boy, he would have said, I'm bringing my homie. It's like, okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Bianca really does know him well. She knows all of his text codes.
Yeah. It winds up being my friend. It's like, nah, that's how he knows everyone. He's on the show. So anyway, that is below. I'm sorry, not Below Deck. That was Invite Only Cabo. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We will be back mañana to discuss some Southern Charm. And on Wednesday is Below Deck Mediterranean. Thursday is Real Housewives of New York, and on Friday, it's Below Deck. Why do I keep on saying it's Below Deck? It's Southern Charm Savannah. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Bye. Whee!